Artcentric Podcast with Rafi and Klee.
Hola, you amazing artists. It's Rafi.
And Klee.
And today we're going to talk about putting together events and basically what it is that we think about whenever we're putting together an event. Right now we're putting together an artist workshop, a big artist workshop. Mm-hmm. It's a both online and in-person event here in Oil City. And while we were putting all that stuff together and really thinking about how it was to do that, I thought about all the events that we've put together ourselves over the last few years, a lot of art exhibitions and things like that, and wanted to share some of the stuff that we think about when we are indeed putting together an event.
Yeah, and I'm excited to talk about this because I know for a lot of creatives starting out, like they're looking for events to like be part of, but the idea of planning your own event can seem really daunting. So yeah. Hopefully this list helps you get your bullet point outline together to start thinking about how you might do your own event.
Exactly. Zara says, promote. That's the advice to get yourself out.
Yes. That's a huge part.
That's a big part of it. That is definitely a big part of it. There's a few more steps involved before the promotion part comes, just so that you have all your ducks in a row. But yeah, we're going to talk about all that stuff. Definitely promotion is... You could go all out and create an amazing event, but if you don't promote it, nobody's going to show up.
Indeed. And I know that can be really tempting if it's your first event to not tell anyone and then not have anyone there so that there's no pressure. But honestly, don't lie. We've all thought about it, right?
Yeah.
Honestly, it's a much better experience if you do tell humans about your event. Anhand said, I was thinking about putting an art walk together for my little suburb. This is perfect timing.
Awesome. Yeah. So this is not just going to be about workshops and stuff like that. This is going to be your own event. Like, we've done art exhibitions. We've put together yard and art sales.
Yard sales
where we actually invited other artists to set up a booth at our big giant yard sale that we had. So yeah, we're going to talk about all the things to check off on your checklist. So if you have a pen and paper on hand and one of these stand out to you, make sure you write them down.
Mm-hmm.
Just to let you guys know, if you're listening to this podcast, we have our amazing Rogue Artist family here with us today. And so if you hear us reading comments, that's who we're reading comments from.
They are brilliant.
These are artists from all around the world and always give us their insight, their very unique insight, which makes these podcasts even more epic than if it was just Klee and I sitting here talking about stuff. So let's get to the first step. The first thing that I think about whenever I have an idea, you know, a lot of times when we plan events, whether it's a virtual event or something, we're looking at our calendar and it's like, sure, we've got commissions, we've got different things going on. But whenever there's a lull in time,
lol,
that's when we start thinking, and not lol, not to be confused with LOL.
Lulls in time are different.
Yeah, exactly. What we do is think, okay, could we do something this month or during the next couple months that gives us something to focus on, right?
That is fun.
Yeah. So a lot of times it's putting together an event. It doesn't have to be like a major event, you guys. Like I said, a yard and art sale where you're inviting artists is...
A virtual studio tour,
those kind of things. So the first thing I do is define the purpose and the goal behind the event. Like, why are we going to do this? What is the reasoning behind it? And always try to reach for something more than
I like money.
Yeah, like
we all like money.
Try to make the inspiration for the event not revolving around money, because if you're doing, I could tell you right now from personal experience, if you ever do something and the sole purpose of doing it is doing it for the money, it's not going to inspire you. It doesn't inspire you to get going.
No. So also money creates pressure and nobody wants that. For example, when we had our 2-month gallery exhibition last year, the purpose was to introduce ourselves to our new community, to let them know who we are, to give them a chance to meet us and see what we do. So your motivation might be getting to know your online community, getting to know your in real life community or your non-virtual community.
Introducing yourself to the world.
Introducing yourself to the world. Doing something to help your community, right? Wanting to establish an artist collective in your area. Any number of things.
Put together a community online. You know, it. Just remember that your motivation behind it has to be something that you want other than money, right? That's kind of like the given. Like, yes, I want to be able to make money because I've attached money to all these other things, you know, like being able to survive and all that stuff. You want money to be the side effect, right? But your motivation should be that thing, that other thing.
Another common motivation when starting out is like, this is something I want to do and I want to get my legs under me. So this is a practice round. And also I want to be able to show on my website that I do this. So I want footage of it in order to promote myself as such.
I love that you said that because that's basically what it is. Like whenever we do an event, it's like, all right, I want to have this notch.
On my belt,
and I'm going to film it, take pictures, and that way I have, like, real stuff. You know, you're not using stock photos to be like, I do speaking engagements, and it's like, it's stock photo of someone else.
That is clearly not you, sir, and ma'am.
So that's one of that's the first thing that I do. We spend a lot of time talking about it, and like, why is it that we want to do this? The second thing we do, speaking of money, is create a budget. Like, what is our budget, right? A lot of times it's like, and when people hear that, it's like, oh, well, I don't have a, you know, like you don't have to go big with it. A budget could be like, well, I want to have cheap wine, crackers, and cheese at my event. How much is that going to cost? You know, am I going to do food? Do I need to hire a friend or can I get a friend to do this for free? Like, you know, like,
is there a cost for the venue?
Is there a cost for a venue? Am I renting a venue? What other things are attached to that? Different things like that. For example, like doing this event, doing the workshop, we knew that we needed a space to be able to do it that was big enough to hold 25 people in person. So we went to the local library and they happened to have this awesome conference room that we were able to rent. So we had to budget for that.
And for catering,
right? So, and those are things that you get to hear, like, am I going to have food at the event? Am I going to do this? What kind of food do I want? Is it going to be like cheap beer and crackers? You know, like,
I love cheap beer and crackers.
Exactly.
Having it on a spreadsheet or even a regular doc just helps it be less vague and it helps you really visually understand what the budget looks like, even if it's a small budget.
Now, mind you guys, the other thing to keep in mind is that all these steps that I'm giving you are all things that, let's say that you, for example, we got a grant from Erie Arts and Culture, National Endowment of the Arts. All of this information is stuff that they would want, right? So I found that whenever we're putting something together, it helps us to put this list together because then we're thinking about all the angles, right? All the angles. And the last thing you want, it's already like stressful to try and put an event together. So the last thing you want is to be this stuff that's like up in the air. So yeah, a spreadsheet, write things down, make sure that everything is written down in an easy way where you could just glance at it and you know what's going on. After I have my space, right? And a lot of times people want to pick the date first. Pick the space first. That way you know for sure that you have the space for that date.
That it's available.
Right?
Yeah.
So then choose your date and time. Think about factors like, you know, is there any kind of events going on or something like that during this, during the event that I want to do?
You definitely don't want to conflict with other events if it's not easy for your goers or your patrons to do both.
Yeah,
right?
We wanted to have our event on the weekend, and it just so happened that like Apple Fest is happening. That's a big, giant event that happens in this area.
We would lose against Apple Fest.
Exactly. Nobody's going to want to come and sit in a workshop and hear two dorks talking, or, you know, versus like going to a big festival. So, you know, or who knows? Maybe they would.
Maybe we would win. Preferred.
Maybe we'd win. We'd win Apple Fest.
We didn't want to take that chance, so that's something to think about.
Yeah. The other thing.
Oh, as a side note on your date and time, you guys never, ever give yourself less time than 1 month out to plan your event. I don't care what the event is. That month is going to go by like, bam. I can't snap my fingers that good. Bam. Never less than a month. Don't be like, I'm going to do this thing in next week. I'm going to do this thing. That is just simply not enough time.
There are so many reasons for that. It's not enough time for you to put the event together. Not only that, but you're going to want to promote the event. And you want to give yourself plenty of time to promote the event. That's why, in my mind, I'm like, the minimum amount of time that you should plan it out is 1 month.
And up to like 3 months or longer.
I would go with 3 months because that way you could really plan out your promoting of the event. Mm-hmm. That way it gets out there and you're able to send reminders and stuff. A lot of times people, before they like put something to memory, they have to hear it at least three times. So give yourself to like put it out there and promote it.
Yeah, our registration for the workshop has been open for a month, the registration part, and we have people trickling in daily, even today, right, registering for it, because everyone gets to it at their own pace.
The other thing that I do is develop a timeline, right, and that goes into the promotion, right? So the timeline is, okay, this is a month out. The first week, I want to send out a blog talking about the event and what's going to happen with all the information on it. The third week, I want to go put posters up around town and pass out flyers. The fourth week, you know, it's you basically put together a timeline of when and where you're going to take care of all the stuff that is going to lead up to the event and promotion and stuff like that.
On Hand Art is asking, speaking of an Apple Fest scenario, would it be better to try to combine with a large event? Thinking it might help to try to get space at local Strawberry Fest in the next town over.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so that's a good idea.
Let's briefly touch on that. If you have a scenario where it could actually benefit you to be in conjunction with a larger event, right? An inside workshop and an outside Apple Fest don't really correlate because our students are going to be essentially with us all day long.
Right.
But if you have like an art walk that's in close walking or driving proximity to another thing, you can actually piggyback off of an event and get traffic flow that way.
Right.
As long as you promote.
Yeah.
And as long as you coordinate with those event coordinators to let people know.
I think that's key, is making sure that you coordinate with the event coordinators. They'll be able to take advantage of your marketing and you'll be able to take advantage of their marketing. I think that's a great idea, a great way to approach it. Jenny said, I think I'll have an event called Art with Cheap Beer and Me.
I like the name.
I love it. I love it.
One of the fun things about event planning for me is coming up with a name that people are going to do a double take. Right. So, Hi, We're New Here was a corny but lovely name for our gallery show. When we decided to extend it the second month, we called it Hi, We're Still Here.
Yep.
People found it funny, and they liked it.
That's where I love, you know, I think it's one of the reasons that I love planning our own exhibitions and events and stuff like that. Because I'll be honest, whenever I read, like, the promotional stuff for events that are going on, it's so vanilla. And I'm like, you want to have fun with this. It's something that I put in the marketing book where I have like the power words and stuff like that. You know, it's almost like the extraordinary art extravaganza of the year. You
promises
know?
To knock your socks off. A local reporter read that and wrote in the paper, it remains to be seen if our socks will indeed be knocked off, which we found to be awesome and hilarious and wonderful.
And that's the thing. It's like, it's very clear when someone's having fun promoting their event or coming up with the name and stuff versus just like art walk. You know, it's like, name it something fun. Name it something fun.
Mm-hmm.
Jenny said, I just went to an art fair that was combined with an apple pumpkin feast.
It was fun.
Yeah, the combination is great. So let's get to the next thing on the list.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got your venue. You've got your timeline. You've got everything laid out for what it is that you're going to do. The next thing you want to think about is logistics. Mm-hmm. This is highly important. How many tables are we going to need? Are there the tables? Do we need, you know, what are the things that we need? Not only what are the things that we need, but how are we going to get them there? Right. Yes. So you have to plan for all of that, not only for the venue itself, for the event that you're putting together, but also for the promoting. You know, I remember thinking to myself, like, I'm going to print out like these many posters, you know, I'm going to print out 200 posters and I'm going to like just lay them out everywhere. Well, guess who's putting up the posters? You know, how much
hello.
Time? Hello. How much time do you have to like, how many days are you going to spend just putting up posters and how much of a return are you going to get on that? So that's why you want to think about logistics. You want to think about what is involved in the promoting of it and also what is involved the day of.
Most definitely. How much time do you need to set up? Are you setting up the night before? Do you have Wi-Fi access for those of you who are in rural areas or areas that have internet dark zones? Is your venue ADA compliant? Can anyone get there comfortably and easily? And so on and so forth.
Yeah, these are all things you want to think about. These are all things you should have on your list to check off. Following that, I would say that that's where we usually start reaching out to contract. Like, there it is. Holy crap. Oh my God, okay. It happened. Okay. All right. Let's redo that section.
Yeah.
Did everybody experience that? I just want to know.
We'll give you all a minute to get your phones settled.
You're probably like watching us like, what the hell?
It was 2 minutes early.
Oh, it was. Mm-hmm. It was. Maybe it'll go off again and I'll be like, damn it. Damn it, Jim. All right. So where was I?
And contract suppliers.
Choose and contract. Okay. So let's get back. Let's get back to it.
Woohoo.
So the next thing, Gail, so hold on. Let's give
let's
it a moment.
Let's just take a moment.
Let's just give it a
that
moment.
That did startle the crap out of me. Zara had her phone turned off, Clover, so okay, that's back to the actual subject, so okay. I'll wait to read Clover's comment. Came from radios radios too.
It's always creepy when you hear, I remember we would hear that sound like in Chicago when I'd be watching TV, and this is like back in the day.
Oh, yeah. This is a test of the emergency broadcast system. This is only a test.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's get back to it. And okay. So I would say that the next thing that is important is choosing your contract suppliers, right? The people that are going to supply food, materials.
Music, perhaps,
depending on what it is, wine. Are you going to have someone come out and do the bartending at your event, right? You want to basically, this is where you put together the group of people that is going to be necessary for you to be able to have food or whatever it is, whatever else it is that you want at the event.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the budget comes in as well, right? So you already established a budget, so you're going to try and negotiate or get some good deals.
You're also, like, seriously give thought if you want quality video footage of your event for promoting future events, consider hiring someone or coercing a friend into doing it for you, because I promise you, as the host of the event, you are not going to have the time or bandwidth to handle the video end of it as well, unless you have stationary cameras and audio to pick up the event. So that's something to think about. Clover said, so in one of the biggest Artist Alley groups I know, if they just banned a whole bunch of art, including art that uses any tracing or 3D models as a reference.
Okay.
Yeah. So also, be on the up and up with events as far as what they're doing and what they're not doing.
Right. And that's important when you're putting together your marketing material and, like, you're going to be saying, like, this event, we're going to do this, and you have all this exciting stuff. Maybe we're this is where, when you're contracting people, this is where maybe you're going to have, like, fire dancers, hula hoop artists, musicians, food, all the entertainment that comes when you're putting together an awesome event.
On hands, like, this is starting to sound a lot like planning a wedding. It kind of is.
It kind of is, except it's more fun, in my opinion, at least. I don't find weddings that much fun, to be honest.
They can be if you take them not so seriously. And I think if you have this bullet list in place, then it doesn't have to be stressful. You just move down the line, you move through this, and if you give yourself plenty of time, this can really be good and fun.
Yeah, yeah.
It's when you're up against really horrible deadlines that it starts to feel really not fun.
Right, right. Especially if, like, all this, like, basically what you're doing is, all right, so we're going to hire the people. And then the next thing, based on the people that you have, like, let's say that you have musicians and you have food and you have different things. The next thing is getting the program and activities set up, right? So great. So the fire dancers are going to come out at this time. Why? Because it's much more impactful in the evening than to have them come out in the morning, right? We're going to have children's face painting during this portion of the event because that's when kids most likely will be there. And then we're going to do more adult themed stuff at this time, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, this is where you really start to, after you've got everybody hired and you've got everything, you've got your time, your venue, everything laid out. That's when you're going to kind of put together a program of activities, right? I would say that at that point, once you have that, that's when you decide, are we going to charge tickets for this? You know, like, what is this venue going to be? How much are we going to charge? Is it a free event? What are we doing? Once you have all of that done and you've secured all your permits and licenses, if you need them.
Right. Let's just quickly cover that. So if it's like an on-city premises outdoor event, you're probably going to need certain permitting, like Gail is mentioning. If it's a private venue, then the chances are you may be covered by some of the venue's permitting, but you really need to find out what permits and licenses you need for any given venue.
Right. And Gail, that's where it comes in. There are different rules and permits for selling or serving alcohol. I would say, for the most part, that's one of the reasons that we do free alcohol at our events, because obviously it's a little bit more lax with that. There are still rules that you have to follow.
And that is on private property, not city property,
exactly.
Right? So as long as they don't leave the premises, you're okay, usually.
Yeah.
So find out about that stuff.
Find out about that stuff, because, yeah, there are a lot of rules when it comes to that. In most cases, like, you almost, unless, like, that's, you're doing a public thing and you're part of someone else's event and they've secured certain licenses, then you could take advantage of that. But when it comes to alcohol, it gets a little bit tricky.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's whenever we serve alcohol, it's at private events, one of those things.
Yeah, so for example, our gallery show was a private event inside of a private space that we rented, and we were absolutely allowed to serve free alcohol there.
Yeah.
So that, just as a side note.
Technically, you could put a tip jar there.
You can.
You're not selling it. Yeah.
But definitely.
But you didn't hear that from me. That's not legal advice. Just saying.
Nay. You want to know what all permits and licenses you need for sure.
Exactly. I would say that after you have that all set up, right? Now that's when promotion comes in. That's when you start. That's why you want to give yourself plenty of time before the event so you could have everything organized and you know what's going to happen, who's going to show up. And now you could add it to your promotions, right? All the cool stuff that's going to happen. You know, when we did our show, it was like, all right, so we're going to be there for 4 months. We figured all the stuff out.
2 months, but yeah.
2 months. I meant 4 weeks. Originally, we were going to be there for 4 weeks.
Right.
And in the logistics of that was figuring out, like, what are we doing every week? Are we going to be there every single day? Or, you know, what are we doing? We decided that we were only going to open on the weekends. And because it was a month-long event, we wanted to make sure that there was something new going on every weekend. So one weekend was live painting. The next weekend was
music performance.
Right.
One week was book reading and discussion. And another week was community efforts discussion, essentially networking and talking about future goals for the community.
Some friends of ours this Friday, they have an art exhibition going on. They're doing a potluck with friends mm-hmm. at the art exhibition. So
they also gave a lecture and had some art workshops going on. So yeah, they have been doing well with that. You want something new and interesting happening regularly.
To get people to go back. Mm-hmm. You know, I think a lot of times, like, we get lost in our own world as artists and we think to ourselves, like, they're going to come out and see our artwork and it's going to be great. And that's true. They're going to come out and see the artwork. Doesn't necessarily mean that people, they're going to enjoy that. But people, you know, if they're taking time off of work and they're spending that time going somewhere, they want to be entertained as well. They're there to support you, and that's wonderful. But in my mind, I'm like, what am I giving them as far as the experience? Am I leaving them with an experience that they're going to walk away from this and be like, that was awesome? Or are they going to be like, yeah, it was great? You know, so that's what I always think of. That's why music, food, all the stuff gets involved. We're doing a workshop. It's a free workshop. And I'm like thinking, okay, what's the food that we're going to get? What, you know, what kind of fun things are we going to do during this workshop? Because I want people to leave this workshop not only being educated about being an artist and stuff, but I want them to have fun.
A good time.
Yeah. I want it to be a memorable experience for them. And I guess that falls into the next one. The other thing that I think of, along with logistics and stuff like that, is the comfort of the people that will be attending. So a lot of times when we did exhibitions, we would do a walkthrough. We'd set everything up and then do a walkthrough. And I literally would think, like, what is this experience for this person?
Yeah.
You know, and I always wanted the experience to be magical. Like, when they walk in, they see this, and then they turn a corner and they see this. Mm-hmm. And we think about that with the workshop as well, because people are going to be there for hours. So we want to make sure that they're comfortable, that they're getting outside light, you know?
Yes, outside light, bathroom accessibility. When we had our gallery exhibition, we had one flow for the majority of the exhibition, and then we had to alter the flow for Wine Walk because we knew we were going to be getting hundreds of people in the space during Wine Walk. So it was like, okay, well, this is fine for a crowd of 50 people or less, not fine for 300 people. So there's a bottleneck here. So, and the line is going to queue up here for the wine. So how do we arrange this flow so that it works? Having one bathroom, if you're expecting 50 people or less, is pretty good. Having one bathroom if you're expecting 300 people, not so good. So little things like that. Is there seating for people if they get tired of standing? Is there an area to comfortably eat without being in the midst of crowds of people?
Think about your experience going to an event and stuff, and the things, you know, whenever we go, there might be something that's like, where the hell are the bathrooms? Or this would be a lot easier if, like, this was like this. Why is there nowhere to sit? So whenever you're putting something together, think about that. Think about where the bathrooms are. And bathrooms are important. But
bathrooms,
I would say,
are very important.
I would say, even if it comes down to it and you're like, you know what, I'm going to create a little map of the space so that people could take that and know exactly where to find what they need to find. When you're doing a big exhibition, that's actually really fun, where you could, because not only that, you could list the different sections, where the artwork is, where the bathrooms are, all that stuff. So I love thinking about that, because ultimately what you want, right, even if like only 5 or 10 people show up, what you want is the experience to be so awesome so that the next time you do something, more people are going to show up, because those 5 or 10 people are going to tell other people how great it was.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. So we've got the plan for the comfort. After that, the thing that we plan for is emergencies. What if the shit hits the fan? What if something really crazy happens and we got to evacuate these people right away, right? You want to know where the fire alarms are. You want to know exactly. You want to basically think about what if things go wrong, so that you're not highly doubtful that it would happen, but you want to be prepared if things do go wrong. Mm-hmm. So that's important. Whenever you're putting, especially an in-person event, right? The things that could go wrong virtually is like, we lost internet. all right, what are you going to do? How are you going to communicate with these people? You know, so you do want to think about that. Prepare for emergency. There are certain situations where you can't even, and this is something that you have to look at. Like if you are renting a space and you have a big event and stuff like that, sometimes you have to have the fire marshal come out and make sure that all the exit doors are, mm-hmm. you know, lit, you know, that they're clearly marked and all that stuff. So, but this is something, depending on the show, a lot of times you're not going to have to worry about this with like little shows that you put together on private property, but you do want to think about it. And that way, if something does happen, you want to be ready.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I basically, after you have that, you're pretty much set. And the thing that I think about at that point is finalizing the details, right? Following up with people, making sure that food, entertainment, all
everyone's
that stuff,
still on the same page.
Everybody's still on the same page. And then plan, right? You can do all the planning you want for the logistics of the day before. However, once you get there, you want to sit and reevaluate your plan. How are we going to get things there? How are we going to transport things? What time is that going to happen? Do I need to get up at 5 a.m. to make sure that this and this is taken care of? Like, basically, you want to already have that planned leading up right up to the event. And, you know, because you're going to have to tweak and change that. And then you have your event and have fun. Yeah. Basically, that's it. For the event, just have fun. If shit goes wrong or it doesn't go the way that you wanted it to, well, just kind of go with the flow, make the best of it, because at that point, it's happening. And to be honest with you, there's no amount of preparation that you could take that is going to cause you to not forget something.
Yeah, and let's just take this moment to say, like, this is your list, right? But not all of these things are going to happen in an idyllic way. And a lot of this is making the most of what you've got. For example, we did not have climate control or easily accessible restrooms for our gallery exhibition downtown.
Nope.
So we had to make the most of it and make it as comfortable as possible and direct people to where they could find restrooms. And
you
so
got,
on
yeah,
so
you got to make do with what you have. It's like, okay, if you if you're looking for a restroom, you got to go up these 2 flights of stairs, go down the hallway to the left. Don't worry, I know it's kind of spooky, but you'll be fine. That kind of thing. I would say that, you know, and just have fun. Don't stress out about it. Just go through the flow. It happens. Make the most of it, you know, and understand that this is just something that's leading up to your next event. No matter how many events you do, it's always just leading up to the next event, to the next thing that you're going to set up.
We've always had at least one thing go sideways on us.
Yeah.
Like in planning anything that you just have to figure out last minute.
Exactly.
It's part of the learning process.
Jenny says, a good rule of thumb is never give them a reason to have to leave for a reason. Yes.
Yeah, like when they say, we'll be right back, we need to get something to drink, etc. Most likely they won't come back.
Exactly.
It's
exactly
true.
And I'm guilty of that. I've gone to events and I'm like, okay, there's nothing here. We'll be right back. We're going to go, whatever. And then you go and then you're like, well, I'm having a lot more fun here.
So,
well, yeah, and then you tell yourself, like, we'll make it a point to stop back when we leave, and then that never happens, and you never end up going back. So, yeah, very, very good point.
On Hand said, 90% of life is just figuring it out on the fly and pretending you know what you're doing.
Exactly, exactly. You want to prepare for certain things, but, like, really, you don't know what's going to happen until the day of the event.
Agreed. Cindy said, I found out that if something goes wrong, it's best to just adjust your sails and not stress out. People tend to pick up on your stress.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Exactly. And there's no point in stressing out. It's like, you know, I think whenever we've had that happen, which it's happened so many times when we're doing an event, basically we like shrug, we look at each other and we're like, well, it is what it is. Like,
yeah. You know, so we recently, earlier this year, we participated in a series of all day workshops in a neighboring town. And so much of the event list of activities was contingent on having good weather, which we did not have.
No.
And so fortunately they had contingency plans in place, but even still, they were up against some problems. But we all kept in the spirit of fun and making it work, and it turned out to be a really great, excellent day, despite the fact that some of the activities were canceled.
Yeah. And for the most part, people are flexible. Like, they're going to understand if, like, oh, well, this is whatever. It's like, oh, I'm sorry. I remember the day of the event, our opening, we're like walking around saying hi. There's hundreds of people there. And somebody comes up and is like, how much is this artwork? Like, I don't see any tags. And I'm like, tags? What do you mean no tags? Like, I am prepared. And I walked over and I realized that there was a stack of tags sitting on the end of a table because I had been going around putting tags and then jumped to doing something else and just left it. So literally there were like 30 paintings that had no tags, no descriptions, no price, no nothing at our event. And mm-hmm. I was like, well, you know, and I looked at it, I was like, well, what am I going to do? Walk around and put tags on now? Like, it is what it is. It's fine. Mm-hmm. And you just kind of roll with it. You don't allow the situation to stress you out or like, oh, I got it wrong. Or people are going to think this. It's like, people are going to think what they think regardless of what you do. And mostly it's going to be based on whether or not they look at you and you look like a big ball of stress, or you're just kind of laid back and having fun.
Fun is fun and stress is stress.
Exactly.
And both are contagious.
Sarah says, it sounds like how I paint. It's planned, but there's on the fly reactions and shrug off stress. Yeah. That's life. That's life. That's basically everything that you're doing in life. So it's one of those things where like you just kind of go with the flow, or you don't kind of go. You go with the flow. You can do all the prep work ahead of time, but once the event starts, that's it. At that point, your job is to make the most of it.
And anyone who's done this knows that it goes by like in the blink of an eye, and for the entire duration, you hardly know what's going on. It's very much like a wedding in that sense.
Exactly.
And then it's over and you're like, did that go well?
Did that go well?
Where
I don't
am
know.
I?
I don't know. What did yeah. We also make it a point afterwards to look, like a lot of people will be like, I'm going to look and see what could I have done differently to attract more people, right? No. The thing that we look at is like, because promoting your event, that's going to evolve. It's going to keep growing and you're going to keep adding things, right? So when we promote the event, and that's not what we're talking about here, so I'm not going to go into detail, but it's like, you know, I walked around with the sandwich board, all the local event calendars and online event calendars. I put the information out there. I write a blog. I share it on social media. I put posters up, flyers, right? It's like a 1-2-3 punch in every single angle that you could promote your thing. So a lot of times after the show, I might think like, oh, you know what? I should have promoted this way, but it really doesn't have anything to do with the attendance of the show. What we think about is how could we have made this easier? What were the things that were a little bit stressful? Hindsight, maybe I would have done this different. Hindsight, maybe I wouldn't have offered this, right? I think when we went into our second month for the show, we realized that the hours, even though we were only doing the gallery for 3 days a week, that there were days that I was like, these hours are too long.
Yeah, and they weren't working with the normal flow of things downtown.
You get an influx of people at this time, and then it's just dead, and you're just sitting there twiddling your thumbs for the next 2 hours. So we change that up. So you change things up depending on what the experience is, but mostly what your experience is. Like, are you having fun? Because you're the one, fine, people are going to show up to your event, but you're the one that's putting it on. You're there for the whole duration of the event. So you want to make sure that whatever is going on, that it's fun for you. And that really has a huge impact on the people that come and visit the event.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I'll say again, fun is fun and stress is stress, and both are contagious.
Adrienne said, I helped a friend with a show and I volunteered to bring some craft beers and imported beers as my husband worked for a company and we had an extensive collection of beers. I gave all of it to the show.
My husband flipped out.
My husband flipped out.
I'm sure the show was very appreciative.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So I think So that's it, you guys. That's our list of things that we consider when we're putting on any kind of event. This works for anything. You just, whether it's a little thing that you're doing, you know, a garage sale art show, a yard and art show, a pop-up at an apartment, an open studio, a virtual online thing. All of these things are things that we look at, that we've, a list of things that we put together over the years that are like, oh, you know, yeah, when we first started doing events, and that's the thing, just jump into it, because when you first start doing events, you're going to forget things, and then you're going to be like, oh shit, okay, for the next one, we better remember this, and you just keep adding to that list, and that's where our list is right now with all the events that we've done.
Mm-hmm.
So we have reached the mark, but before we go, I want to give a big shout out to one of our awesome rogues. And her name is Roxanne Tate, and the business is Roxanne Tate Mosaics. She does custom art mirrors, metals, jewelry findings. Like, she does these gorgeous mosaic art creations.
They're incredible.
They are amazing. You could find her on Instagram under Roxanne Tate Mosaics, but her website is www.roxannetate.com. And yeah, check her out. She's one of our amazing rogues. And our amazing rogues are here with us from the Rogue Artist community. And
they make this podcast possible.
They do. They make this podcast possible, and they make this podcast fun.
Yeah.
So yeah. So I think that that's it as far as putting an event together. Is there anything that you could think of that maybe we missed?
Don't forget your payment processor. Whether it's virtual or in person.
Thank you.
Thank you. I have gotten to a show and forgot it.
Luckily for me, because I would say that about 95% of the time, I forget the payment processor. Luckily for me, Clee always has the reader in her purse.
Except for one or two times.
One or two times where we're like, and always bring like business cards. Bring business cards because people are going to be curious as to like who put this event together and all that stuff. And it's a great way to promote yourself.
Also, always put a guest list out because people are going to want to sign it. It's a great opportunity to let people know that you have a blog or a newsletter if you have one, or inform them about future events. It's always a good idea to put the guest list out where people can leave their name, their email, their comments, and so on and so forth.
Dana wants to know Roxanne's last name. Last name is T-A-T-E.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Roxanne with two N's.
Yeah, R-O-X-A-N-N-E, RoxanneTate.com.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, QR codes are good. Yeah, QR codes. And that's part of the promotion thing. Like, you know, getting QR codes that will take them directly. If you're doing a registration page, like let's say you want to do a paid event or like with the workshop, we have a limited amount of spaces. So we set up a registration page. I have all the posters and flyers that are out there have a QR code on them so that people could easily just go right to that registration page. So, yeah, it's good to think about those kind of things when it comes to putting together a show. But I would say out of this entire list, the most important thing is making sure you have the venue, right? Making sure that you take a look and see what it is that you're allowed to do as far as like legalities and all that stuff, mm-hmm. which a lot of people are really afraid to try and do something, not understanding that, you know, we rented a space at the library. You could rent a space at the YMCA. You could put together an event at all these community places. Mm-hmm. You could contact show organizers that are already putting together an event and see if there's people always, when people are organizing shows, they're always looking for stuff that is going to attract more people. So
universities often have conference rooms and auditoriums that it's not publicized, but that they're willing to rent to the public.
Yeah.
So that's a great venue space to consider, too.
So I would say if you even have even a remote, tiny little idea about putting an event together, I would say just go for it. Just try and do it. Try and organize an event. It really helps you build your confidence in putting yourself out there as an artist when you're the one that's in charge, you're the one that's putting this event together, you're not just waiting around for someone else to do something so that you could be a part of it. So yeah, so that's it. Hopefully you guys found this podcast helpful, this subject. I know that some people have asked about this, but yeah, essentially it is like putting a wedding together. Except a lot more fun, in my opinion, because, you know.
Well, you have license to do a lot more different and quirky things usually.
Exactly.
Unless you have a really cool, quirky, fun wedding, which, yeah, you know.
Exactly. I mean, that could be fun. That could be fun.
Yeah.
Either way, thank you guys so much. Thank you to the Rogues for being here. Thank you for listening. You guys are absolutely amazing. And yeah, we'll talk to you next week.
Mm-hmm.
You want to say goodbye?
Good day.
Adios.